They're talking about the way we do business, period. It has nothing to do with 516 and that subcommittee. But any subcommittee, I do believe that we have a right to know when those meetings are going to be held, and it should not have to be my responsibility to call the sub-chair to find out when they're going to be, and I maintain that.
Thank you, Representative David. I think those are good suggestions, and I appreciate them. I hope that I'm sure there was nothing personal involved. I would like to recognize Dr. Sorensen for a few minutes to talk in terms of the goals and issues that he sees as important. We'll bring this back then on Thursday, and it'll go back to the subcommittee for further work until Thursday. Dr. Sorensen.
Thank you. I deeply appreciate being able to talk to you all. I'm not sure right now that I'm appropriate place.
You're in a good place.
Betty did hug me, and I haven't forgot that. By way of introduction, I want to simply say that if it were possible for a moment, I'd like you all to see me and my colleagues as we really are, rather than as superintendents representing a particular constituency. I'm a father of 5 adopted children. Some of you didn't plan it. I asked for it. I went hunting them down across the nation. They hunted these wonderful children down. I'm a grandfather, and for a small fee, if you'll stop where I'll show you my baby twins and my other 6 grandchildren. And incidentally, the twins and their little sister are on their way to Alaska because I've grown to love this state, and you can't be a full partner in it without some grandchildren running around to guide and fish with. So if you could look at me in that context for just a moment, and let me talk to you, because I see you as very friendly faces. I know all of you somewhat, and many of you very well. This is a wonderful state, and we're very concerned about the direction that it seems to be going right at this time. As we listen carefully, it seems that we're in full retreat, educationally speaking and speaking in other directions, when that's exactly the wrong thing to do. That's not the thing to do, ladies and gentlemen. We don't have any questions about what there's some at least temporary decline in oil production, if not long-term decline. That began the day they punched a hole in the ground and started to take it out. Before then, there was no decline. Obviously, it was going to stay there, and there's no decline in oil right now. I assure you that things will be bad in oil and get better in oil. We understand that. We see that there's a lot of programs asking for dollars, and you have problems coming up with those dollars. But we would encourage you to remember something that I know you think of when you're thinking quietly by yourselves, that we've built a state, and a wonderful state it is. It's just filled with enthusiasm and youth and vigor and encouragement for all that come here. But now our challenge is to build a civilization that has staying power and stability for all of us that choose to live here. If we don't do that, history is going to judge us all very harshly. I had a metaphor that I tried to use, and my board president teases me about it, that did you see the other night on television, and then it was in the paper, that they've discovered a large fungus that lives under the ground and shoots up those spores that are edible mushrooms, and it's bigger than a whale? You know, I can see us, when it's all said and done, being consumed physically if we don't act properly by this fungus that's waiting under the ground and the coyotes that are waiting on top of the ground. Diane said, geez, I wish you wouldn't have said that, and I don't know what you'd do with that. but I have said that. I really think that if we don't act boldly, that when they turn the lights out, that nature is waiting to take over this state like it owned it many years before we come. And I don't think that's a thing for us to do. I don't think we should be judged to be cowardly and retreat from our responsibilities. We've got to break free from this dismal scenario that we have now that says everything's going to pot and we're going to have to lay people off and there's not going to be jobs and we're not going to be able to take care of the kids, because I don't think that's true. And I want you to consider stuff that I know. And I'm getting a great deal of my information from you all. This is not stuff that I'm making up because I want to make it up. But we have We have at least $15 billion cash on hand. Now, I know it's tucked away in all kinds of little pockets, but we all put it there, and we can go and as a people, ferret it out and get it back in the proper place if that's what's needed. We have the richest natural resource state in the United States. There's no other state like this. And believe me, I've lived in Illinois, in Maryland, in California, in Texas, in Utah, and there's no state like this in terms of natural resources. The average householder in this state pays less taxes by a considerable margin than any householder in the United States. In fact, just the numbers blow me away. Money Magazine January issue says that we pay $2,013 per household in Alaska. The average in the United States is between $5,000 and $6,000, and the high is $8,000 per household. And that doesn't even take into consideration the permanent fund, which I've already addressed earlier. We are so well positioned on the Pacific Rim economy that this state has nothing but a bright future in front of it, as far as I can see. Yes, Russia's struggling now, and yes, Russia's cutting timber, and yes, Russia has fish that are competitive with us now. But excuse me, the moment that Russia gets its feet on the ground and becomes a consumer nation, all of that stuff's going to go, and it's not going to be a competitive market for us in the Pacific Rim. We're still going to be big players in that. It's my understanding, this blows me away, that a salmon, a good-sized salmon, is worth more than a barrel of oil. Now, he's on the end of my line, he's worth more than anything in the world right at that point in time. But I just can't get a hold of that idea, and yet it's a true idea. And the last thing, we're endowed with people that are wonderfully bold. Now, I thought it was a bold move to move to Matsu, and I find that that's the garden center of this state. You know, that's a tropical belt. And my colleagues have invited me to go to Barrow and other areas, and every once in a while some folks head from Matsu up the Iditarod Trail to Nome. And I'm going to get out there and see these places. But you have to be bold to live in this this wonderful state, because it has some harshness about it, and we all realize that. But these people are of good character, and they're bold, and they can stand up. They don't need endowments to make it in life, like that are eating us alive right now. We need to deal with that. Now, I think your path is very clear. It's just as clear as can be, but very, very difficult. It is a tough one. I just want you to know that I'll be there, and my colleagues will be there to help you in every way that's possible as you make the changes that are necessary. You have the funding right now to solve our problems short term. I know that, you know that. It's there, and it's reachable. That doesn't solve it long term. That's a different problem, and that's where we have to get in big time and help you with the long term solutions. But I would make just two suggestions to you. If you want to build a civilization, you have to have two things if it's going to be prosperous: free energy or cheap energy. And this state is endowed with energy like no other state has ever been. Just the natural gas alone that they burn off on the Prudhoe Bay every year would run this state well into the next century if we had a pipe down to every home. And a house with free energy is a wealthy environment, any way you cut it. The second thing, though, is even more important. If you want to build a civilization that stays and has staying power, ladies and gentlemen, you must have a first-class university system. It must be there. And you must have a first-class public school system to feed that. We cannot have our children live. My son happens to be, and I don't get to say this to a body very often, but happens to be borderline genius. He thinks he's a lot smarter than his dad, and I want to assure you that that's not true. He is on his way out of state, and the probability is that he will never come back, and that's a tragedy that we can't afford. And that's why we need a world-class university in our state, and we can afford it. We can afford it. Texas has one, and we got more oil per capita than Texas ever dreamed of having. And our public schools, we can't afford to trash the infrastructure that they're built on. And that's what we're talking about right now, because that feeds this major university. All economic development, ladies and gentlemen, comes out of the human mind. All of it. And that's what we have to have. If we get enough energy and enough smart people in our state, this state will never stop. I promise you there'll be a million people between Kenai and Fairbanks. If that strikes terror in your heart, then You know, be terrified because they're coming. They're not going to go any other place. And let's not retreat. Let's take this remarkable state into the future. Forgive me if I've offended even the least little bit. 63,000 is not asking too much. It is an appropriate thing for us to do at this point in time. And I know that you know that the money is there short term. And I know that you know from the things that I've said to you that we can solve the problem long term. Pat, you probably will never let me talk before but remember, I'm just an old grandfather trying to make a living.
Dr. Sorensen, you've been restraining yourself very well, I thought. We are running out of time. I really appreciate the indulgence of the committee. And Representative Hanley, perhaps you can work with the chairman of the subcommittee between now and Thursday. And were there specific people you wanted to ask questions of who may not be here?
No, that's okay. Most of the people will be, I think, representatives of all the different groups are here that will be able to answer any questions that I might ask.
In that case, then, those two bills will be brought up on Thursday. House Bill 516 will be the first bill up, and 512 right after that. With that, this meeting is adjourned at 10:05.